I would say turn in your Bible with me, but I have a lot of passages of Scripture that I'm going to look at this evening. This morning you gave me so much extra time, and tonight the clock is ticking very, very swiftly. I was on the phone with Janae once this week and was in the study and was looking over some different notes that I had there. And I asked Janae if I preached a certain message, if anybody would remember it, since I had preached it in July of 07, right after we moved here. And I said, nah, nobody would remember it. Except for maybe Etta. She's probably got some notes on it in her Bible, and lo and behold, she's not here tonight. It would have been a perfect opportunity for me to preach it. And I didn't bring it with me. It's still downstairs. Maybe I ought to run down and get it. Tonight, though, I want to look at this subject, the subject of spiritual tests. Sometimes I'm tested, sometimes I'm tried, the songwriter said we just heard. There are tests that we go through. The psalmist said in Psalm Division 7, verse 9, oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God trieth the hearts and the reins. God trieth the hearts and the reins. David said in Psalm 17, verse 3, thou hast proved mine heart, and thou hast visited me in the night. Meaning that there were some dark times, there were some desperate times. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me. David went through some intense trying times, some severe testing times. Spiritual tests are just a part of our lives, or at least we ought to recognize the reality that spiritual tests should be or will be a part of our lives. Think it not strange when fiery trials. Spiritual tests sometimes come to us by demanding great sacrifices, as it did to Abraham. Maybe not in the exact same way, but there's some great sacrifices that spiritual tests or God's proving will bring us into the pathway of that testing time by demanding great spiritual or great sacrifices. Genesis chapter 22, you know this passage. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. What a horrible, horrible sentence. What a horrible thought. But God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. That passage, that story, that scenario hurts. It really hurts. It hurts deep down inside, because this was a great demand for a great sacrifice, but spiritual testing, that God was proving or bringing Abraham into a spiritual test. Not only does spiritual test sometimes demand great sacrifices, but it also may lead men in a difficult way. It may lead us in a difficult pathway. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee. There it is again. God's just being straightforward. God's just being completely transparent with what's taking place, what's going on. He has given them blessing after blessing. He has multiplied. He has given them promises. But because of their doubt, because of their hesitancy, because of other factors in their lives, God was now going to send them into a position to where He was going to prove them. The reason for it, he said, to know what is in thine heart. To prove thee, to know what is in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Have you ever been through one of those times, spiritual test, when he led you in a difficult way? It wasn't pleasant. This scenario here in Deuteronomy 8 was not pleasant. It wasn't something that they loved to do. As a matter of fact, it caused some real issues with them. They murmured, they complained, they grumbled a number of times, and God was proving them what was in their heart. We find that also spiritual tests will come by giving opportunities for choice. Giving opportunities for choice. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." You read that story, and that's an interesting story. Solomon was now the king of Israel. He was following the kingship of David. The kingship of David was that of warfare. There was a lot of bloodshed. But in the end, God gave them peace. Solomon was taking over from this. Solomon had a choice from God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? God has given Solomon a choice. Now you read that and you'll see that God is pleased with the choice that Solomon gave and made, because he mentions you could have asked for wealth, you could have asked for fame, you could have asked for a number of things, but instead of asking for all these things that's going to simply and strictly benefit you, you have asked for wisdom to lead my people. There are sometimes spiritual tests that come by giving opportunities for choice. We also find in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 30, this same Hezekiah also stopped the upper water course of Gihon and brought it straight down to the west side of the city of David. Hezekiah prospered in all his works. Howbeit, those kind of words should stand out to us, because it seems to be that there's a shift going on. Howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him. There it is again. God's being transparent in what he's doing. He left him to try him that he might know all that was in his heart. Now, God knows what's in our heart, doesn't he? He's giving us opportunities, or he provides opportunities for choice as a spiritual test to prove what is in our heart. He also gives spiritual tests by proposing hard tasks. You ever been there? Did God ever ask you to do something that was hard? You've been a Christian very long. If you've been serving God for very long, you've been brought to this spiritual test. John chapter 6, verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him. There it is again. The transparency of what God is doing to prove what is in the heart, proposing a hard task. I don't know if any of us are being called on by God to feed a great multitude or a great company of people. I don't know that any of us are being called upon to do that. But there are hard tasks that God will ask us to do. Sometimes spiritual tests come by permitting men or people to suffer when in the path of duty. That seems a little strange, doesn't it? That God would permit people to be brought into the path of suffering while they're on duty, spiritually on duty. But look at Acts chapter 16, verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Now, if you wonder what the context there is, the next verse says something to the effect, "Then at midnight they sang." That tells you who it was, doesn't it? Paul and his co-worker, Silas. Here they were, serving God, faithful in the ministry, and somebody decides that they need a whipping. A whipping worse than any one of us has ever experienced. Oh, there may be some times that I would kid my parents about the whippings that I received, but I can assure you that even though they were as severe at times, they did not measure up to these 39 stripes. Laid many stripes upon them and cast them into prison. Spiritual tests sometimes come by permitting us to suffer when in the path of duty. Sometimes spiritual tests come by permitting temptation. James 1, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this," here's the transparency again of what God is saying and God is doing, "that the trying of your faith worketh patience." You'd think that I could learn something from that. If I would work on my patience extra hard, then there'd be less trying of my faith. The trying of your faith. Spiritual tests. Spiritual testing. For the sole purpose of trying our faith. To increase our patience. What is he saying there? He's saying very simply that the purpose of spiritual testing sometimes, at least in these kinds of cases, are brought about so that we will be made better people. Going under the knife, as it were, cleaning up the rough edges and the bad edges and taking away the difficult edges. Sometimes spiritual tests come to us by way of divine delays. Divine delays are brought about to try our courage and to try our patience. Have you ever had and experienced a divine delay? Well, let's look at what God's Word says about it. Psalm 69, verse 3, "I am weary of my crying, my throat is dried, mine eyes fail, while I wait for my God." Now from that, if we don't experience anything along that line ourselves, from that we could probably come to the conclusion that God is uncaring. Because we want things now. We want answers now. We want blessings now. We want that, whatever it is that we're asking for now. But he said, I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. Now, if we read the rest of the book, we understand that God's timing is never late. We understand that God has a purpose in everything, whether we see it clearly or not. John chapter 11, verse 6, "When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." You know what the context of that story is. his beloved friend Lazarus was sick. As a matter of fact, Lazarus was going to die. Jesus knew that Lazarus was going to die. But even though he knew that he was going to die, he also knew that Mary and Martha and the people around needed to see something and experience something more. They needed to experience the divine delay to prove their courage and their patience. James chapter 5, verse 7, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain." James is giving us an understanding here that there's patience needed to wait on God when it would appear that there's a divine delay. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The Lord is not slack. Faith is tested sometimes by a strange plan of attack or a strange campaign. Joshua chapter 6 tells us that story that would give us an understanding here of faith being tested by a strange plan. It was unseen. It was unheard of. What God was telling Joshua to do in the effort to destroy or to defeat Jericho. It was completely unheard of. This was supposed to be a military campaign. This was supposed to be an attack kind of situation, but instead Joshua was told by God to just walk around the city walls so many times in so many days. How hard is it for us to have our faith tested by a strange campaign, a strange plan? Something that goes against human reasoning. We struggle with that. Most of the time we struggle with that. Oftentimes we struggle with that because we can't grasp the reality of something that is unreasonable to us. Irrational to us. Spiritual testing. Faith is tested by strange plans from God sometimes. Sometimes God tests our faith by reducing a general's army. You know where I'm going with that one, I'm sure. Judges chapter 7, "The Lord said unto Gideon, The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, Mine own hand hath saved me." That's verse 2. Verse 4, "And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people are yet too many." Verse 7, "And the Lord said unto Gideon, By the 300 men will I save you." Now, if we were to go back and review all of those numbers, which are insignificant to our cause this evening, but if we review all of those numbers, we'll understand that God took a vast number of people that were still minimal compared to the enemy and reduced them to a handful of people compared to the enemy, a barley loaf, as it were, in the vision of one of the Midianites, rolling into camp to destroy and turn over the tent of the Midianite. This small band of people, I believe that Gideon's faith was tested. Can you hear the rubber band stretching? Can you hear it squeaking out its restraint or its cry of giving up a little bit and releasing a little bit of the pressure? Here was a man that was to go and face a multitude of enemy, and he had 300 people. How about Elijah? His faith was tested when he was required to depend upon a poor widow. Now, it was one thing to depend on God at the brook and have the ravens feed him and the brook provide him water. That's one thing. I'm sure that that was a difficult thing, and our faith would be tested if we had to do something like that. But now he is called to go and depend upon a poor widow. 1 Kings chapter 17, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." to top it all off, he is to, in this test of faith here, he is required to receive the last morsel of bread. Put yourself in his shoes here. If you haven't gotten the book from Roland Mitchell about Elijah, then maybe you could get that book. It's a good book. He brings out a beautiful picture of this particular scenario. Put yourself in his shoes. He is to go to a widow of Zarephath and tell her that you give me the last morsel. You give it to me. But prophet, this is the last. I eat this and I die. Well, give it to me and die anyway. I couldn't do it. Are you there? I would have a great difficulty doing this. I can't help but this prophet had the same kind of restraint, same kind of anxiety built up within him, saying, "Oh God, what are you doing?" It was a test of his faith. Remember, Elijah was struggling with some things of depression and doubt and fear. Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, and make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son." But Elijah already told you, "I only have enough for my son and myself, and then I die. But you make it for me first, and then whatever's left over." What a test of faith. Sometimes a test of faith will come by requiring what appeared to be useless work. Do you like to do useless work? My uncle tells the story when he was in the Navy that there were times that they were told to go out and dig a hole. When they get done digging that hole, they go back to their commander and ask him what they're supposed to do next, and the commander would say, "Go back and fill the hole in." Who enjoys doing useless work? We find in Scripture that a test of faith came to Elisha, to the people around him. They were required to do something it appeared to be useless work. 2 Kings chapter 3, beginning with verse number 14. Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee, nor see thee, but now bring me a minstrel." And it came to pass, when the minstrel played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, and neither shall ye see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand." You see, they were at a crossroads. They were at a difficult place. And now God was saying, "Go out and dig some ditches, and I will prove myself to you to give you confidence to go into this battle against the Moabites." It's a test of faith to do something that appears to be useless work. Let's get personal here. I know you don't want me to get personal with you, so I'll get personal with Faye. She's fine with that. How useless do you feel sometimes going to nursing home services? Are you really reaching anybody? You know, Ed is not here tonight, but we could probably talk to Jeanette, who works with the older group in the Good News Club. Are there times that you feel like it's useless work? Oh, I know. Yeah, I believe we're supposed to trust God that the seeds are planted. But when we look at it from the human perspective, are we digging ditches in a dry and barren land? You see, the test of our faith is that we obey God's command even when we can't see the result. I believe that that's why Faye goes back every Monday night, and several of you others do as well.
That's why Good News Club keeps going on, because you're believing that these ditches that are being dug will eventually, sometime or another, fill with water from heaven. Even though we don't see the wind, even though we don't see the rain, we can't realize it perhaps ourselves, but the promise is there. The testing of our faith. Sometimes our faith is tested by requiring extensive preparation without a blessing in sight. Get a hold of this one as well. Sometimes our faith is tested by requiring extensive preparation with no blessing in sight. 2 Kings chapter 4. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." And Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." Then he said, here's the test of faith requiring extensive preparation without a blessing in sight. He said, "Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, empty vessels. Borrow not a few." Borrow not if you get as many as you possibly can. Your faith is going to be tested by how much preparation you put into this. That's powerful. By how much effort you put into this. My faith is being tested here to do extensive preparation without any blessing inside. And here this woman goes out with her two sons, and they begin to bring in the vessels, and God filled every single one of them. It brings us to the point, oh, I wish I'd have had a few more. You know, you go to buy a car and you give that counter offer and they instantly snatch it up, and you stand back quickly and say, oh, I wish I'd have dropped my price even a little bit lower. Here it is. Oh, I wish I'd have had a few more vessels to fill. Tested. Faith is tested by requiring extensive preparation. Sometimes our faith is tested by the refining influence of affliction. Let me see if I can get through these quickly. Job said in Job 23, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Refining influence of affliction. Psalm 66:10, "For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried." How is silver tried? "Thou broughtest into the net, thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire, through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place." The refining influence of affliction. Isaiah 48:10, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." Malachi 3:1, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." The refining influence of affliction. 1 Peter chapter 4, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings." 1 Peter 1:6, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ."
Sometimes our faith is tested through the refining influence of chastisement. Deuteronomy 8, "Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him." Psalm 94:12, "Blessed is the man whom thou chasteneth, O Lord, and teacheth him out of thy law." Proverbs 3:11, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." But then we quickly also have some promises. We go back to Job again for his verse that I've already given, but it's still a promise. "He knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." John chapter 14, verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Let not your heart be troubled." Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior." And then Psalm 30, verse 5, the latter part of verse 5, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Yes, there's spiritual tests. Yes, our faith will be tried, tested. But in the end, God's purpose is to give us great rejoicing. Would you stand with me this evening, please?